Is the title up there? Is how to be miserable. Okay? How to be miserable. I need to explain myself. Some of you going, you know, we came on the wrong Sunday. Yeah. I gave many sermons on abundant life that we have in Jesus Christ. You know, because Jesus says, I have come that you may have life and have it to the full. You know, and so I gave many, many messages, you know, on how to have that abundant life. But today I want to do something different. I want to talk about how to live a life that is opposite of abundant life. Right? I want to talk about how to be miserable. Right? And the reason I'm doing this is not because I'm in a bad mood. Right? That's not the reason. You see, I realize every Sunday, you know, I give you, I believe, good biblical advice. I need to hear amen. Okay. You know, and so it's week after week, I'm giving you good biblical advice, and it just adds up, and there's so many now, you know, so many good advice, good biblical advice that you hear week after week. I'm kind of afraid that you might take it for granted, okay? That you might take it for granted. When there are so many good biblical advice, there's a tendency, okay, there's a tendency, you hear it, so you listen, and you kind of agree, but we don't put it into practice because there's too many good advice. Okay, there's too many. So today is different. If you want to be miserable, and I have some very bad advice for you to follow. Okay? Not so that you take the bad advice, not that I want you to be miserable. And I think that when you hear for the first time, hear a bad advice from me, okay, that you could kind of hold up your life and see what you're really practicing. Okay, to see what you're really practicing. When I look at the way I actually live, look at how I behave day to day, okay, what am I really following? Is it the good advice that I hear every Sunday from Pastor Sam? Or, now, if you hear this bad advice, it kind of might, there might be a light, oh, you know, I'm not really following that, but it's the bad advice that I'm following. Okay? So, I'm going to give you bad advice number one. Okay? Bad advice number one. Be ungrateful. Okay? Be ungrateful. Okay? You know, when I say be, you know, when I share this message from 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18, give thanks in all circumstances. Give thanks in all circumstances. When you hear this message, I preached on this, I believe, several times over the 8 years. You probably, yes, I agree. We need to be thankful in all circumstances. But I'm going to talk about ungratefulness. Be ungrateful because maybe when you go home, that's not what you practice. But you'll be more ungrateful. So the bad advice is don't do that. Don't be grateful. Okay? Ignore the Bible. Okay? Be ungrateful in all circumstances. Okay? Develop a genuine spirit of ingratitude. Okay? Don't be thankful about the things that you have. Be upset about the things you don't have. Focus on things that doesn't work. Okay? Find faults in people that you know. Focus on how life is so unfair. Okay? Believe that you can't trust people because they will hurt you all the time. You know, they will reject you. They will disappoint you. Believe everyone is better off than you. That nobody cares. That you are stuck. That your life is insignificant. And the future is hopeless. Okay? This is a really terrible advice. Okay? But if you want to be miserable, be ungrateful. Okay? If you want to be miserable, be ungrateful. Because, you know, when ungrateful, what happens is you will never be content. It starts from ungratefulness. Okay? When you are ungrateful, you will never be content. you're making $30,000 a year, you know, and you're not thankful for the $30,000, then what's going to happen is you're going to say, I need more. I need more. And then you get $50,000, right? And you're not thankful for the $50,000. You might be happy for the moment, but because you're ungrateful, you will say, I need more. I need $70,000 a year to be happy. And you get $70,000 a year, and you're not thankful for the $70,000, guess what's going to happen? I need more. Okay? I can't be happy with $70,000. I need $100,000 a year. And if you're not thankful, it's going to continue and continue and continue. When ungrateful, you'll never be content. You get what you want, you'll be happy for a moment, and you're not thankful for it, and you'll feel discontent, and a little bit more, then I'll be happy. A little bit more. You know, if I just had a better job, okay, you're not thankful for the job that you have, then you're gonna, you need more. A job with better insurance. You're not thankful about the insurance you have, a job with better benefit. And then, you know, you say, I will feel better, and when you get it, you will not. You will not feel better. You will be discontent. You know, I have bad news for you. If you are not grateful, if you no matter how much you make, it will never be enough. Isn't that a miserable life? Okay? It will never be enough. You will not be content. You will not be happy. If you want to be miserable, okay, don't be thankful. You'll be miserable. Okay? When ungrateful, what else happens is, you know, you will complain. Okay? You will complain. Okay? Complaining is a sign of spiritual immaturity. Okay? It's a sign of spiritual maturity. Okay? A little child, okay, when they complain, what do they complain about? They complain about the food, okay, they complain about their clothes, they complain about school, they complain about homework. I'm not looking at my kids, you know. They complain about friends, they complain about the vacation spot that you chose. Hershey Park again, you know. And when you complain, it shows immaturity. Complaining shows childishness. So you could be a pastor of a church. You could be an elder of a church. You could be a small group leader, life group leader, a ministry leader, but you complain. You know what that says? You're spiritually mature. Huh? You're spiritually mature. Being ungrateful, right, it starts from there. Being ungrateful makes you complain, but also there's another terrible thing about being ungrateful. It makes you lose sight of God's blessing. Okay? Look at the Israelites in the wilderness. The Bible says they grumbled every time it got difficult. Okay? They complained. And they could not see God's blessing. Can you imagine? Every morning, there was a pillar of cloud. This was a supernatural cloud that guided them every morning, okay, and throughout the day. And when it got dark, there was a pillar of fire, okay, pillar of fire. In the morning when they woke up, guess what? Supernaturally, there was manna. And at night, supernaturally, there was quail to eat, okay? And they couldn't see that God was leading them. It wasn't supposed to be in the wilderness, but to a promised land, to conquer the promised land. They couldn't see that God set them free from slavery. They couldn't see all the miracle God did for them, you know, to free them. They couldn't see God's blessing because they were unthankful. They were not grateful. Some of the testimony glorifies, you know, the old, the sinful life, the world, you know. Did you ever hear a testimony like this? I used to do drugs. Okay? I used to go to a lot of party. I fooled around a lot. I lived for myself, and then I became a Christian. Now I just go to Bible study. a lot of meetings, you know. I have all this list of what I can't do now. That's not a testimony, you know. My testimony is I used to be in bondage and controlled by everything under the sun. Drugs, materialism, self, pride, idols. There was a lot of rejection in my life and insecurity and sin. I came from a broken family. I had an orphan spirit. I was lost. The devil had his way with me. The devil perverted everything that was good in my life. I had no power to change. And God delivered me. He set me free. He transformed me. He gave me a new life. You know? Being thankful is the most powerful choice that you can make. When going through difficult trials, start being thankful. Right? The trials become an opportunity instead of a barrier. You start to see from God's perspective instead of your flesh. You know, when you are depressed, start to offer up thanksgiving. Then that spirit of depression start to lose its power over you. You start to rise up under that depression. When you feel inadequate, okay, we're gonna all feel inadequate, you know. You know, if you try to please people because you feel inadequate, you fear people's opinion, you feel bad about yourself, you're gonna feel worse. You're gonna feel more pressure. But instead, start to offer thanksgiving. Then you know what happened? This wonderful thing happened. Right? You start to realize that you are thankful because God created you. God didn't make a mistake when He made you. You are created in His image, His likeness, His purpose. Thankfulness, what it does is it agrees with the truth. Right? Unthankfulness agrees with the lies. Thankfulness also acknowledges the truth. You know, that our life, once you start being thankful, you see that our life is a gift from God. The Lord has a bigger dream for us than our own. We have a gift of eternal life. We are more than conquerors. God is sovereign over my life. God is extravagantly generous. God will complete the work that He is doing in us. The Lord is with me. He will never forsake me. He will never leave me. Okay? Amen? I have a second bad advice, number two. Pursue temporary possession. Okay? Pursue temporary possession. Luke chapter 12, verse 15 says this. Watch out, be on guard against all kinds of greed. Life does not consist in abundance of possession. Okay, so the bad advice that I want to give you, okay, don't care about God, okay? Don't care about people, you know, don't care about what's going on in your heart, don't care about eternity. Believe life is all about what you have, okay, what you drive, what you wear. Life is about how much possession that you could get, okay? So when you pursue temporary possession, you know what happens? It just naturally happens. Okay? You start to compare what you have to the people that have more. And that's a miserable life because no matter where you are, you're going to always find somebody who has more than you. Okay? That's a miserable life. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 12 says, not to compare yourself to others. And if you do, the Bible is pretty nice about it. You're not wise. Okay? Another word is you're being a fool. Okay? You're being a fool if you compare yourself with others. Okay? If you want to be miserable, compare with those who have more than you. You know, compare your salaries with somebody else. Compare marriage. Compare the washers and dryer. You know, yeah, we could compare anything really. You know, you believe life is so unfair because you have a top loader. You know, instead of the fancy side loader, you know, a washer and dryer. If you want to be miserable, compare your bodies with other people. Compare your body with the anorexic models on the magazine, you know, where they are airbrushed and digitally enhanced. Huh? Guys, compare yourself with someone who has more hair. Huh? Yeah, guarantee, it will make you miserable. Okay? It will make you miserable. Compare yourself on social media. Okay, and the youth, I wanna, you know, ask you to be careful about social media, because there's a study that's done. Because of social media, depression in girls is skyrocketing. It's skyrocketing. And you know, so but compare yourself on social media. How come this person got more likes on their sunset picture than I got likes on my sunset picture? You know, I put all, I worked on it for an hour with filter and everything, but this guy gets more likes. How come this person have more followers than me? Well, compare yourself to someone who has more than you. It's a surefire way to be miserable. Okay? To be miserable. See, when you pursue temporary things, you forget who you are in Jesus Christ. You forget your identity that you have as a Christian in Jesus Christ. See, who am I? That question. Who am I is the most important question we all need to answer. Okay? In this culture, okay, our identity is in possession. Okay? In this culture. But as a Christian, you are not defined by your possession, by what you have. You're not defined by the car that you drive, the shoes that you wear. That's not who you are. If your identity is in possession, you will never be secure. You will always be swayed. You will be swayed by people's opinion. When you don't know who you are very vulnerable to other people telling you who you are. Okay? Not just people around you that you know. TV. You know, now they got what? 600 channels? 600 channels telling you who you are. It's all different. If you know your identity, you can be yourself. You don't compare yourself to other people. You don't try to be someone else if you know who you are. It is when you don't know who you are that you lose the sense of your identity. You say, this shoes is who I am. This shoes is what's gonna make me feel beautiful. It's this shoes that's gonna make me feel secure. It's this shoes that will make me happy. It's that car that I drive is my identity. If that, then what happens is you will listen to lies. You will listen to the stress and pressure that's around you. You will listen to people's opinion. You will listen to circumstances that goes up and down. You will listen to the world. And then ultimately, you will listen to the devil and his lies. Okay? Nature defines character. Okay, say that to your neighbor. You know, a cat will have a very difficult time trying to act like a dog. Did you know that? Huh? A dog will have a difficult time trying to act like a cat. Who we are determines what we do. You know, when a cat tries to be a cat, they do cat things. Okay? When a dog be comfortable being a dog, they do dog things very naturally. Okay? God, the Bible says, God is love. Okay? It doesn't say God, because that's who he is. God is love. God doesn't try to love you. Do you understand what I'm saying? You know, he doesn't try, he doesn't fake, you know, okay, I'm going to pretend to love you. I'm going to perform to love you. God is love. Love just flows out of him naturally because God is love. When you live a life that is inconsistent with your true nature as a disciple of Jesus Christ, your identity in Jesus Christ, when you believe your life is based on what you have, you will be miserable. You'll be frustrated. You'll be stressed. You'll be disappointed. It is when you know who you are, when you know your identity as a disciple of Jesus Christ, you have true peace. Okay? You are able to tap into that tremendous power of God that you are forgiven in Christ. There's no condemnation in Christ. You have eternal life in Christ. Greater is he that is in you than the one that's in the world. You are completely accepted in Christ. You are valuable in Christ. And nothing will ever change that. You know, I gave two very bad advice today. But the question that I have is what is important? Okay, think about that. What is important? Is it that you come to church and hear good advice week after week after week? And as your pastor, I know who, what pastor says that. That's not the important thing. So you come to church and hear good advice, good biblical advice, week after week after week. Or look at how we live when we go home from church. Okay? When you are home. Okay? And think about when you are home. Are you ungrateful? Are you focused on what you don't have? Do you compare yourself all day with people who have more? Are you not content? Do you always want more? What you have is never enough. I'm going to ask you that question again. What is important? And I, as your pastor, I agree with this. Not that we come to church to hear good biblical advice. What is important is this. And this is what I'm trying to get at. What is important is this. How we live reveals what we believe. Okay? How we live reveals what we believe. It's not what you hear and, you know, and you hear and you're nodding in agreement to my preaching. Your action often shows what you really believe, okay, when you go home. If the way we live could speak, okay, when you're home, Monday to Saturday, if the way that you live could, has a voice and you could hear it, okay, and the reason I'm going, you know, bad advice is we're not hearing it even though we're living it. You know, what does it say for your life? Okay? What does it say? What are you really listening to? Be discontent. Complain. Live for the temporal. Compare yourself to others who have more. Be selfish. Or, okay, the way you live, if it has a voice, it's a saying, live a life of thanksgiving. A life living for the eternal. If the way we could, if our life could speak, has a voice, what would it say about you? Okay, what would it say about you? It's a saying, what Christ offers is not enough. It's not good enough. That's what the world offers to me. I want to share with you what Paul writes in Philippians chapter 3, verse 7 and 8. Okay, what Paul says real life is. It says, but whatever were gains, to me I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them garbage that I may gain Christ. Okay, let's pray. If you could keep the verse up there, it's just as we worship, if you could meditate on that passage, let that be a prayer. Let that be your heart. Let that be your cry. About again how many good messages that we hear, but you know, as a church, this is what God is telling us was really important. How we live reveals what we believe, not how many good sermons that we hear. And Holy Spirit, just be very honest with us, Lord. Search our heart. And by how we act throughout the week, show us that what we are clinging on to, what lies that we are upholding, what message that we're proclaiming on Monday, that Jesus is not enough. He's not good enough. That we look, we see a car passing by, we say, if I had that, I'll be happy. Never being thankful for what you have given to us. 24 hours a day, Lord, in the wilderness, you showed them that you were with them, that you're guiding them, that you're feeding them, that you're providing for them. But we could not see. God, let this be the cry in our church. God, I want to see you. Jesus, I want to see you. You are Jesus, you are enough. You are more than enough. As we worship, that could be the cry of our heart as a church.